ಸ್ತಿಗಂ ಹವಾಮಹೇ ಕವಿಂ ಕವೀನಾಮುಪಮಶ್ರವಸ್ತಮಂ ಜ್ಯೇಷ್ಠರಾಜಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಸ್ಪಧಾನ ಶೃಣ್ವನ್ನೋತಿ ವಿಸ್ಸೀದ ಸಾಧನಂ ಓಂ ಮಹಾಗಣಪತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಸಹನಾವವತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿಃ. ಮೂಕಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ. ಸೊ ದ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ ಈಸ್ 13th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಜ್ಞ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗೋ ನಾಮ. So far, both the Swamiji's covered 10th shloka, starting with Mayi Chananya Yogena Bhaktirav Vibhicharini. Up to that, Pujya Swamiji explained. Bhagavan Shankaracharya introduces this topic as Kshetra and Kshetradnya. First he explains in summary what the Kshetra and what the Kshetradnya is. Then suddenly he takes off Jnana Sadhana. You'd wonder what's necessary when you are talking about something, how to make the food. Suddenly you think, let us see where to get these groceries. But that's not the idea. If you see the each chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that's the explanation. He talks about the Tattvam, then he always introduces or explains how the sadhana is important. So the same thing is also adopted in 13th chapter after pointing out the importance of the kshetra, the field of experience, and the kshetradnya, the one who experiences. All of us know what is a kshetra. Kshetra means field. It is very easy to take the kshetra, the field other than myself. We don't have any confusion. But here Bhashyakara equates the kshetra with this body, with sense organs, including your ichha, dvesha, sukha and all that. There comes the confusion. As long as this object is away from me, I am able to objectify. I have no confusion, I have no problems. But when my own emotions, my own ichha, my own dvesha, my own ragas, if they are also told that they are also kshetra, it becomes very difficult to reconcile with this statement. But that's how the kshetra, kshetradnya relationship is in reality. If it is not known, through the jnanam it has to be known. In order to know that, the certain preparedness is necessary. In the process, he explains what he means, Krishna explains, that what here is everything is nothing but manifestation of Ishvara. There is a oneness that's called non-duality. For this statement, all of us are, there are people, who has objection? If there is only one Ishvara, then all the bhokta, bhoktrutvam, kartrutvam will also go to Ishvara. Because you have already established that other than the Ishvara there is nothing. So bhoktrutva, kartrutva also goes to Ishvara. All the time you have been talking in Shastra, the Ishvara is free from kartrutva and bhoktrutva, but your own statement refutes and establishes that Ishvara is subject to samsaritvam, because there is only one Ishvara. Where this kartrutva, bhoktrutva will go away? So Shankara at length, he spends time to establish that Ishvara is not subject to samsaritva. If at all I feel that samsaritvam is because of my own ajnana. At great length there are so many other objections are raised, but the essence of the discussion that goes on in that chapter is Ishvara is free from samsaritvam. What is samsaritvam? Samsaritvam is feeling oneself limited in spite of limitless, as Pujya Swamiji tells in general. So oneness has to be discovered, and there is no question of any ignorance that will create duality in Brahman. In spite of duality, Brahman remains non-dual. Is the Siddhantaha. Siddhanta means that is established fact, and it is proven. It's one thing to you establish something, which has to be proven. So all the shastras prove that there is oneness. So the question that was raised, Ishvara is subject to samsaritva, well, is already gone. So that was done in the second shloka. So how to know this? Just one statement is enough? Then the fourth shloka, Rushibihi Bahuda Gitam Chandobhi Vividai Pratak. Again, you have to take recourse in Shastra. There is no other way you can know this Atma. Why? Anything you read, as Pujya Swamiji says, it is written by, I will not say idiot, it is written by the Ajnani or the Jivaha. The conclusion of the Jivaha will be limited, because he will write all that he experiences, not beyond that. So you have to again take recourse or help in Shastra. Rishabhi Bahuda Gitam Chandobhi, in form of Upanishad, Shruti, Smriti, Purana, is available, but preference is, when they are three in line, always you take recourse in Shruti. What is Shruti? Vedanto Nama Upanishad Pramanam is Shruti. In the form of Vedanta, the Upanishad is presented. What is Vedanta? Vedanta is just a positional name which talks about the Aikya Jnanam, knowledge of identity of oneself. That is the Vedanta Shastra. And it is Pramanam. Pramanam means its only means of knowledge. This is what Pujya Swamiji always emphasizes, that how it is very important for a seeker to discover that, to know myself, there's the only means of knowledge is Shastra. There is no other means of knowledge. Whatsoever is available for you will not suffice, will not deliver the good of what Shastra is doing. What do you mean by this? There are different pramana, there are different things are there. You can say, why can't I touch the Atma? Why can't I see the Atma? Why can't I feel the Atma? Atma being Indriya Agocharatvat. Unfortunately, it's not available for my Indriya Gochara. The very essence of Indriya is Atma. So if it is Indriya Gochara, like Vastu Adi means whatever the object we see, table, chair, mic, myself, unfortunately that's not available. It's available only in the form of Aham Taya, I am, Aham, Aham. Only in that form it is available. So, Indriya Avishyatvat, because it is Andriya Avishyatva, only Shastra becomes the Pramanyam. So, Shastra Pramanyam, accepting Shastra Pramanyam is a very, very important decision in our life. Because we say Atma has some form. One has to stumble upon Atma. You close your eyes, Atma will come up. You levitate yourself, Atma will come up. All these things are there. They must be having their own explanation, but they all fall short of Vedanta. Means when it comes to the Vastu Jnanam, they all fall short of definition. Then what will you do? Shastrameva Pramanam. Other than Shastra, there is no other way that you know Atma. So Chandobihi, mantras are called Chandas Chandobihi. But it doesn't mean that different people tell different things, we have to accept it. Ekaha Sat Vipraha Bahudha Vadanti. What is different? Same one Sat is being told in different way. Like there are many paths to reach the moksha. Whether it is bhakti yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, this yoga, that yoga. No, here the sat being only one. Even though bahudha, many people have told, but Bhagavan Bhashyakara in Brahma Sutra makes nice samanvaya. No matter what sentence you highlight upon, shruti or smriti, all the vakyas, they have to brahmani eva samanvaya. They have to explain only about the Brahman. There is no other way that you can interpret that sentence in different way. So there is a lot of discussion goes on. You take Akashapada. There are many sentences, Shruti Vakyas are being analyzed. They are not just analyzed, they are being resolved at the end. Brahmani eva samanvayaha. They are all Brahma Suchakani eva. They all talk about the Brahman alone. Even though the Akasha Pada is used, even though some other Pada is used, that Pada cannot be equated with the given object. That Pada has to be equated with the Atma. That is the Siddhantaha. So, Chandobihi, the Brahma Sutra, Padaishchaiva, I am talking Brahma Sutra, but not literally translating this. I told how Brahma Sutra does the Samanvaya. Then, after that, again he talks about the Bhuta Ahankara, Mahabhuta Nyahankara, Buddhi, Avyakta, Indriya, Dashakamcha. These are all the 10 things. Then, Icha, Dvesha, Sukha, Dukham, Sangatas, Chetanadratihi, Etat Kshetram. Subhashyakara brings. I'm talking about, it's very easy. So this is mic, this is table, this is desk, this is my friend, this is thing. That's up to that, everything is fine. We all accept it happily because subject is different from object. And I have no problem in accepting this. But when we come to this shloka, which shloka? It is not a scaring shloka or a threatening shloka. This shloka makes us to think, how can, not Bhashyakara, how can Krishna tell this? What is that? Icha, Dveshaha, Sukham, Dukham, Sangatas, Chetanadratihi, Etat Kshetram. This is also called Kshetram. Kshetram is what? What you can objectify. So this is up the This is how the subject matter is developed. So if this is the kshetra which is objectifiable kshetra, I can easily appreciate. But when it comes to my own emotions, my own things, I am not able to objectify them as the kshetra. Prior to this, all of you are already know what the nature of the kshetram. Kshetram is all transitory. It is there, it will be there, it goes away. Kshetra means different things. Kshetra is not the vastu like it stays all the time. If the kshetra, if ichha, dvesha, sukha stays with you, then all of us are stuck with one thought. There is no second thought. The very fact you move from one thing to another thing, that shows the ichha or dvesha is not a binding factor for atma. It is free from, atma is all the time free from these ichha and dvesha. But it's not easy to understand this fact. Somehow there is a tadatmyam. Tadatmyam means there is a close identity. With reference to kshetra, I am able to see other than myself, but when it comes to me, it somehow there is a tadatmya. There is a adhyaropa. Adhyaropa is there. Adhyaropa means there is a superimposition. This was also problem of Arjuna. When Arjuna wanted to fight before coming to the war field, he was actually ready, but when he came, when he saw all his close relatives, cousin, then he told, they're all my people. So what happens when there is a tadatmya? The viveka jnana will not be there. Viveka will not help us in any way. No matter how intelligent we are, no matter how analytical we are, no matter what all we possess, but somehow that knowledge doesn't come very handy when we have a tadatmya. What is a tadatmya situation is here? Atmani anatma adhyapa. What is not there, you superimpose. Shastra explains, Shastra presents atma as Purnaha. But I take this reference body, I take this body as the reference, then I say Atma is not Purnaha, Atma is Apurnaha. Why? Because all that Apurnata I do see. I do see in my body, I do see in my mind, then I make clear conclusion that Atma cannot be Purnaha. Why? Basis for making this conclusion is because of this Sharira. And fortunately, we feel good all about this because people around me also confirms the same thing. So then we feel very good. Psychologically, we are all secured because if all of us have a same thing, then there is no problem, even though it is wrong, but it is considered as a right. So it's with Shastra view, taking limitless Atma is limited, wrong in the sense because of the ignorance, it is not acceptable, but still we all take and feel very good about it because we each confirm our erroneous knowledge and we feel very happy about it. We say, hey, I thought that I was ignorant, but people around me, not in this country, go anywhere. Whether you go to Bharat, where we are supposed to talk about moksha, there are also people ignorant. So ignorance is universal. Nothing to worry about it. And we cannot get away with it. So we feel very secure. This is what we do. So based upon the conclusion I make, I say Atma is limited. So this is how it's not acceptable. The Shastra says Atma is limitless, but we still take Atma as limited thing. So when this situation is there, when Shastra presents Atma as Purnaha, and there is no time, there is Atma Chuti is there. There is no that it is Chiyate or the Atma swells sometime. If you are happy, Atma becomes big. If you are sad, Atma becomes small. Nakaniya says, Shastra talks about it. It doesn't mean that when you are really happy, Atma is so big and vast. And when you are sad, Atma is so narrow. You can't talk. No, Atma is always your happiness. Oh, that's news for me. It's not news. You've been listening to this. So, but that's how, when it comes to understand this fact, somehow I am not able to appreciate this. Then what is the inhibiting or hindrancing fact? What is that makes me to take myself as limited person? So is there anything that I have to do special act to come over this thought? Is that enough, or I have to know something more? So Krishna beautifully introduces values. Swamiji's very favorite subject, values. It's value of values. So when one has to discover, or one has to understand the need for values. What is the definition of value? All of you know, we'll share it. A value is a value when value is valuable to me. When value is not valuable to me, so discovering value is not at all important. Because for one value, you have to develop the value. Anyway, you see only value, but you have to see a value is value when it is valuable to me. So moksha is a thing which is valuable to all of us. So every shastra talks about adhikari. Sadhana chatushtay adhikari it talks about. But when you see Upanishads, it does talk about adhikaritvam, but it doesn't spend so many verses except Kathopanishad. If you take the Taittiriya Upanishad, it doesn't talk much about the adhikaritvam, because when you choose to study Upanishad, Upanishad presumes that you are adhikari who have undergone Shamadamadi, you have done the pariksha of the world, pariksha lokan, karmachitan, nirvedam, vairagyam is already produced there. So it takes it for granted, adhikari, that adhikari is paripakvaha. Adhikari has no confusion. What do you mean by adhikari has no confusion? He has divided his time in very well manner. He said, this time, this much time, prime time of my life will go for self-inquiry. Rest of the time, by the way, I will fulfill the responsibility. It's very clear in his head. He has no confusion at all. So Upanishad presumes that adhikari is totally prepared. It spends more time on tattvam than sadhana. But it doesn't mean that any shastra talks about the sadhana is lesser than giving the message. No, it's not like that. But it is necessary. We have to see the context, who is talking to whom. So shastra itself talks about uttam adhikari, madhyam adhikari, adham adhikari. It doesn't mean that it is going to condemn who is adham adhikari. It helps us to prepare our mind. If at all tattvam is not clear, then you better be equipped yourself to understand the tattvam. Why? Because you are committed to know the self. Suppose you are very casual to know the self, then developing the values have no importance in my life. You are a jidnyasu. If you are a jidnyasu, and if you would like to know the tattvam, and you are not able to know the tattvam properly, then one has to find out what is the problem, or what is not problem, what's really going on with me. Let me check myself. You keep your likes and dislikes under check. What is really taking me more? What is that thing in my life occupies more time than required? Why I am not able to appreciate this simple fact of myself? So one has to reorganize his own things, reorganize his own responsibilities. That's what it the in general, if you want to ask me in modern language, what is this all amanitva? You have to reorganize yourself in terms of your responsibilities. Because responsibilities are endless. And going for artha, kama and moksha, dharma, artha, kama, is all endless. So at some point, one has to decide, thus far I can go. Why? Because you have value for moksha. If you have no value for moksha, working for all amanitvam, madambitvam, you have no place at all. So these qualities, they become very, very important. Okay. So the vairagyam also is becoming important. Somewhere it is asked, how much the degree of vairagya you are talking about in you take these values, amanitvam, adambitvam, kshantihi, arjavam, acharyopasanam, shaucham, stairyam, atmavinigraha. Puja Swamiji has explained all these things. We need not have to add anything. We need not have to do anything. It's all, each explanation is complete by itself. But if you talk, if you ask, what is the level of vairagya you are talking about? Very beautiful shloka I found out in Chanakya Niti. Tejatekam kulasyartha. If you are belonging to some kula or the family, if some improvement is necessary, you can leave. There's no problem. You can leave because by your living, the family is benefited. Gramasyarthe kulam tejit. If your services are needed for sake of grama, you better give up your kula. Kula means you try to reduce the amount of time you spend for your own family. For grama, your talents, your expertise are going to help to the whole gramam. Please share that. Don't get stuck with your given family. That's fine. Then, gramasyarthe, janapadasyarthe, atmarthe, then what I should do if atma comes in my way? Atmarthe prithvim tejit. If it requires to be given up the whole prithvi, it's not given up. As Swamiji says, we don't give up anything. The ownership that we have to redefine the definition. There is nothing to be given up. Because it's not all that easy to give up. So, atmarthe prithvi tejit. So if you are seeker of atma, if you want to know the atma, what is required, whatever is required, if you have to give up whole prithvi, you can give up. That shows the purushartha nirnaya. That is the purushartha nirnaya means when you have decided to know the self, you are ready to do anything. Like somebody wants to go for trekking. There are a lot of difficulties are involved. But what is your goal? Goal is to climb. So there are so many challenges will be there. So many difficulties will be there. Just by seeing the mountain, sometime you feel it is so scary, whether I'll make it or not. And you hear stories also, people who had gone there, and some people had really miserable stories to share with you. It's scary. But you say that, well, this is what I have decided to do. No matter how scary it is, no matter how difficult it is, even though it's a big task, I'm going to do it because that is the purushartha nirnaya is there. Similarly, when we have decided to know the atma, it's better to develop these qualities: amanitvam, adambitvam, kshantihi, arjavam, acharyopasanam, shaucham. Then sthairyamatram, vinigraha. Then indriyartheshu vairagyam. Here Puja Swamiji makes it very clear. This indriyartheshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrityu jaravyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. All these things he wants us to recognize as the kshetram, nothing else. It looks like a very difficult proposition, but when you develop all these qualities, all these propositions don't seem to be very challenging. But first, how can we say janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi? Janma is the one, it's a celebration, correct? When baby comes into this world, it's a big celebration. Then what, after the janma, it is suddenly he jumps into mrityu, but in between many things happen. That's also matter for celebration. Anudarshanam. Anudarshanam means one thing. Someone says, I think in given situation you should not do this. Oh, no. I want to go through that experience, correct? In this country it is there. I want to go through. If I discover it is wrong, if I discover it is harmful, then I will leave. If it is not harmful, I am not going to leave. Some of the things you can justify that logic. For example, you take fire. You cannot say that I will touch the fire and then say that it is hot. No, that is the anudarshanam. Anudarshanam is, it is already proven whether you touch or I touch, the effect will be the same. So in samsara, no matter who explain what it is, the tag that goes with the samsara is janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. In different scales it moves. As they say, if you are diabetic, it is going to get you, if not now, later. So similarly, even though the samsara gives us very good thing, but it is going to catch us one day and make us to feel limited. It's only matter of time. So, what is the nature of the samsara? Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatare shayanam, iha samsare bahudustare. What ultimately, hey, murare, pahi. That's what only, other than that, there is no pahi murare here is knowing the self. There it is. It looks like as though some kind of a bhajanam is going to solve the problem of samsara, but no. So this is the janma mrityu jara vyadhi. Anudarshanam is very important. Anudarshanam means once you see the limitlessness of it is better not to pursue. It's better to understand that it doesn't give me what I want. I want limitless. Through the limited objects, I am perceiving limitless. So that jnanam has to come. So anudarshanam. Anudarshanam means what? It is proven thing. So please don't have another new project in our life to see what the samsara is. Oh, you mean to say that are you against samsara, or all sadhus or swamis who talk about the samsara, they are all against? No. Nobody is against the samsara. They are showing the limitedness of samsara. Because we always get beaten up again and again, but still we don't leave. That's how this statement is required. What is that? Anudarshanam is very important. Okay. Then what? After anudarshanam, asaktihi nabhishvangaha putradara grahadishu. Putradara grahadishu asaktihi and anabhishvangaha. How can you make such statements? Putradara grahadishu? You say that anabhishvangaha, you should not have any interest in that? No. Swamiji makes it very clear. You are not giving up anything, you are giving up the ownership, because relations are not absolute. If relations are absolute, things will never go wrong. Correct? The very fact things go wrong, the very fact things change, things are different. So relations, whatever we have, whatever we don't have, everything is highly relative. When it is highly relative, we cannot own it. We cannot claim it as mine. So Swamiji says, it's not you have to give up putra dara, because putra is source of joy, correct? Dhara is source of joy, everything is source of joy. When such a beautiful, happy thing is happening in this world, how can Shastra comes and create confusion in me that we should just shun them off or give up? No. The ownership that I own them up, as Swamiji says, sun is not part of you. He looks as though he is part of you because he is not part of you. Because the very fact he thinks, Dad, I am not going to do this, it shows that he is an independent person, having his own karmas, having his own set of thoughts. I happen to be nimitta for his life. Beyond that, I have no control over those things. So, putra, dara, grahadishu. And graha, my own house, all of us have identification with that. It doesn't mean that we have to give up home. A lot of foreclosure homes, that's we are not talking about. We are talking about that my belonging in this house is that the ownership has to be given up. Means what? This is all real. That has to be given up. We need to have house. And when we say ashram, we should have building, correct? We ourselves teach that give up. We cannot give the building because building is just a place to conduct certain activities. Beyond that, it doesn't have any other important purposes. So, putra, dara, graha, adishu. Then adishu, whatever has been not covered, you can add. Adipada, help us to include all that has been not covered. Either you can say the whole tree, or you can keep on telling branches, leaves, etc. When you say the whole tree, everything is covered in that. Here also, in Adipada, if at all we have forgotten something about the asakti anabhishvanga in putradara grahadishu, if at all we have forgotten some words, if they come in future, please add them also. So that makes the shloka complete. Okay. Then nityanja samachittatvam ishta anishta upapattishu. Ishta and anishta, Swamiji already explained in last class. We will not spend more time on that. And this is upapatti. Samachittatvam is not casual samachittatvam. Nitya samachittatvam. Sometime we are relaxed. Most of the time we are not relaxed. Shastra not harpens, it requests us to be, because it is Haiteshini. Shastra is presented as, she always looks, she means Bhagavati Shruti. She always thinks good for us. So it says, Nit samachittatvam, that samachittatvam, equanimity, nityam, let it be nityam. Here the nitya pada is nothing to do with the eternal. It is something to do with nirantara. Bhashyakara says here, nityancha samachittatvam, tulla chittaya, ishta nishta upapattishu ishtanam, what is ishtanam and anishtanam cha upapattayaha, sampraptaya tasu ishta nishta upapattishu nityam. Nityam here is constantly, means what? You are a predictable person. It is not very difficult to approach you because you are quiet person. In this kind of way, you are cool person. You are not afraid of that person to approach because you have a balanced mind. He doesn't jump too high when there are achievements. He doesn't go down or become sorrow when he loses something. He is always same. Means you can relate to that person, correct? Even these values, if you are not able to get the Atma Jnanam, even in day-to-day life, they will help, correct? Asakti, Anabhishvanga, Putradara, Grahadishu. Samachittatvam is one important thing, which is Nityam. Let that Samachittatvam, equanimity, be there as your, like a shadow. Like a shadow means, it's there all the time. It's not that casually you are samachittatvam. Most of the time we are asamachittatvam. In Bombay, there was a day of courtesy. The courtesy has to be every day. Mother's Day has to be every day. Father's Day has to be every day. That is called Nityam. Nitya. Let that samachittatvam be not only on one day. It should be Nirantaram. The Nirantara pada is used there. The Nityam is translated as Nirantara. It has to be all the time your samachittatvam. Because you have got very few things to deal with. Correct? When I have got many things to deal with, the chitta goes all over. So what is that? It's if you have only few things to vyavasayatmika buddhihi, that's what I was grouping to get that. Vyavasayatmika buddhihi ekeha kuru nandana. When you have got few things to do, when you have downsized everything, when you have narrowed down everything, you have got only few things to deal with. You feel so good, correct? When you have so many responsibilities, mind goes all over, which you have to fulfill, nothing wrong with that. But when you have downsized, when you have recognized or identified, hey, these are the main important things in my life, rest of the things will be there, rest of the things has to be attended, but in given situation, I can go thus far and fulfill them. So you have got only few things to deal with. When you have got few things to do, then naturally your chitta will be in samachittatvam. So, recognizing your responsibility and prioritizing what is important, what is not important becomes very important. What we are talking here, even though you don't use this for atmajnanam, even in day-to-day life it is useful. Because people will ask when you talk Vedanta, how it is going to help me in my day-to-day life, correct? In fact, day-to-day life is not separate from the Atma at all, if we all analyze. It's the same Atma, whether it is vacation Atma, day-to-day Atma, it is the same Atma. Whether I'm the sad, the same Atma. When I'm happy, it is the same Atma. When I hate someone, it is same Atma. When I love someone, it is same Atma. Atma never changes. So far, science has not changed the Atma. We are all safe and lucky. Atma is never changed. So, anyway, so chittatvam is very important, which helps in our day-to-day life. And if it is nirantara, it helps us greatly. So, asakti anabhishvangaha putradara grahadishu nityancha samachittatvam ishta and anishta. They all always hold us back. What I like something, I go behind. What I don't like, I try to avoid. Suppose I don't like someone to talk, even person is coming from that area, we avoid and go from other place, but that's how the mind works. So, but we have to tell ourselves, no, I'm going to like this. Otherwise, more you hate a person, or more you want to stay away from it, more closer it comes to you. That's the nyayam. The Swamiji says, don't think of monkey in the meditation, monkey comes in the meditation. So more you try to avoid those things, it's going to catch us. Knowing that science, it's better to go with the flow. If we don't like someone, Puja Swamiji say, give them flower for 43 days. So that we'll get over with that kind of negative thought in us. So life will go on. Everybody has their own expectations. Everybody has their own agenda for you. If you analyze everything, you feel everybody is so self-centered. Why should I be with them? No. You give the best. You do your best. Whatever. Why you have to say you do best? Because you have this Vedanta knowledge that nobody can exploit you. If we don't have Vedanta knowledge, it is a separate thing. When we have Vedanta knowledge, it is true that nobody can exploit you. We are not able to practice it to the fullest extent, but you can see Puja Swamiji. As Swamiji Tatmanji told, Swamiji is reckless in giving. Similarly, in Vyavahara, how much it is possible, we don't know, but we should try to do it. That sets an example, a role model for others. Because we all think that cornering each other is called standard life. No, but there are some people, they put aside all their comforts, they forego all their pleasures, and they still continue to share their things with people. And that brings samachittattvam. What we are discussing is samachittattvam. There are many reasons not to have samachittattvam. But when you are a student of Vedanta especially, it is better to have samachittattvam. And one more word he attaches it, make sure that let that samachittattvam be there all the time. Whether it is a sukha, whether it is a dukkha, whether it is a ishta, whether it is an anishta. So he say, ishta upapattishu na vrishyati na kupyati. He's told, na vrishyati. He's not highly elated. Nor if he doesn't get angry. He doesn't get mad. Na kupyati. Yeah? Anishta upapattishu tachetat nityam samachittattvam dhyanam. So this is the samachittattvam dhyanam. He is not talking about the absolute jnanam here. Jnanam means knowledge. It's not, when it says you should have knowledge, means you should own it up. Having knowledge is one thing. But here there is no gap. You know to do it. What is that? Walk the talk. You walk the talk. Means it's not just knowledge. In our circle we don't use much the word practice. But you know to do it. Means what? You are knowing all these qualities not for sake of, they are not academic words for us. They are word revealing our own self. They talk something about to be, these are the values something to be developed. These are not values something to be discussed. We can easily discuss because we don't have anything. When there is a discussion, there's always, we can talk about it, but this is not a discussion. Here we have to develop them. If we don't have, we have to develop them. If we have half developed, you have to nourish them. In that way, the growth is possible. So, that is the samachittattvam jnanam. That's what it is. Then, Pujya Swamiji explained the verse, mai chananya yogena bhaktirav vyabhicharini vivikta desha sevitvam aratihi janasamsadhi. Mai, the word, mai cha ishvare. Very elaborately Pujya Swamiji explained in his last class. I think you have to listen to that cassette. It's not the one part he covered. He covered everything in that word mai. He covered avatara. He covered, it's not the, when we talk about the mai, it is not the asmat shabda, seventh case is mai. It is the Ishvara. And how Vyasa presents beautifully Mr. Krishna as a Bhagavan. He is not Mr. Krishna because he is a Bhagavan. He is not referring to any given noun like Rama or Krishna. Even though if you take a derivative meaning of Rama and Krishna, they will ultimately resolve into the Vastu only. But here, Vyasa represent him as a, not Krishna Uvacha, always in Bhagavan Uvacha. So all Shad Aishwaryavan Bhagavan, he is the one who is Shastra, who is Vyasa, is represented. Then he says Vyasa is the only one person who has authority to do that. No one else, who himself is knower of everything and who presented these four Vedas in systematic way. And that Vyasa, it's like, you know, in big ceremony when all known personalities are there, if they handle the subject matter, how it is? Same story here. The Vyasa representing Bhagavan Krishna in the form of Mr. Krishna as a Bhagavan. So you can see the beauty of it. And that is the way mai word Swamiji explained in detail. Ananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharani. He told avyabhicharani bhakti means it is not bout of devotion. It's not that you are devoted morning 8 to 9 and rest of the time I am not devotee. It is avyabhicharani. There is no time that you can't think of Bhagavan. There is no time in your life that you are away from the Bhagavan. Bhagavan means here you can ask question. Why is used the word bhakti? Because he is going to explain bhakti in detail in 12th chapter. Correct? What is not being explained, why it is shown here? Well, bhakti, it's not necessary that it has to be physicalization of... Physicalization means you are doing puja, etc. If you see in some of the interpretation, karma yoga is also bhakti. What is bhakti ultimately in broader sense? Appreciation of Ishvara. Ishvara in one's own life. I think Swamiji has a book. Ultimately, whole definition you can look into, more of Ishvara, less of yourself. In fact, that also vanishes or goes away at some point. It's not more of Ishvara. What is here is nothing but Ishvara. So that is called, it's not part-time devotee, it is full-time devotee. So when you say full-time, outside word full-time is explained, correct? Morning 8 to 5 is full-time, whatever it is, but here full-time, ananya bhakti. It is not that there is a chance to forget. It's not auto-suggestion, please understand. It's not giving auto-suggestion to ourselves that I am bhaktaha, I am bhakta, I am bhakta. No, no, no. Based upon the understanding that Ishvara is abhinna nimitya upadana karanam, it's non-separate from everything, and in this given creation, I am so limited. I am not the author of this creation. Whatever is here, it all belongs to Ishvara. That is the understanding. And how can we remain away from this understanding? Correct? If there is another Ishvara in another world, that is possible. Correct? Oh, this Ishvara is okay, but let's go to Hawaii. There is another Ishvara who is more helpful, more benevolent, more giving. Correct? We change in our life. Oh, that person is good. Let's go there. No matter where you go, it's the same Ishvara. It is Ishvara's expression. Whether it is, there is no Indian Ishvara, there is no American Ishvara, there is no Hawaii Ishvara, there is no Ishvara. I mean, because if there are many Ishvara, then we can't use the word even Ishvara, correct? Because Ishvara is absolute, I don't say absolute control, it's the only one. Because Shastra keeps telling Ishvara is one. When you say Ishvara is one, because we have many desha, many places, we cannot divide Ishvara. Ishvara is not subject to any division. We divide Ishvara because of my own ignorance. That is to be attended to. But there is only one Ishvara. So the bhakti, what we are talking about here is not the part-time bhakti. And as I explained to you, it's not auto-suggestion also, because somebody has not forced you to accept this. When you study Shastra, it is presented that Ishvara is the abhinna nimitta upada karana. So Ishvara is responsible for both. What is that? The material cause and efficient cause. If efficient cause is different from the material cause, then Ishvaratvam cannot be established. Ishvaratvam or Ishvara is possible when everything belongs to him. Correct? It's like he is the owner of the whole city. Suppose I say, then can you ask, is that small house belongs to him? It is ridiculous to ask that question. When you say whole, when you say the whole tree, all the leaves, everything is covered there. When you say one Ishvara, everything covers there, and there is no, There is no any other Ishvara who supersedes this Ishvara. So far we don't have that arrangement, and I'm sure we'll not have that one. So oneness is not replaced. And how can you be away from that one Ishvara? So this is the understanding. So bhakti or the bhajanam is not being talked here. One bhakti or bhajanam is just a small surrender by saying namaha. But here, based on the fact that Bhagavan is, Ishvara is abhinna nimitta upadana karanam, based on that, you always have bhakti. So even though the bhakti is elaborately explained in 12th chapter, but here even karma yoga is also bhakti. So one way of bhakti is you go to temple, you do puja, you celebrate many festivals. So that is one way of showing my bhakti. Suppose that's not very appreciable. What is the bhakti? Bhakti is again this acknowledging Ishvara's blessings. So that is the karma yoga. The karma yoga is also bhakti, because it is also one of the sadhana only. Bhakti yoga, karma yoga. So here ananya bhakti is being taught. So let your bhakti be unflinching, because there are so many challenges will be there. There are so many people to influence our life. You don't get perturbed by others' opinion. You don't get confused with other statements. Your knowledge is so firm that no other opinions will remove the knowledge, the dhada jnanam that you have. It's not that you have accepted the Shastra Vakya blindly, because Shastra doesn't tell you anything impractical. Shastra explains everything in Nyaya. Nyaya means there's so much logic. And the Shastra has Tatparadya Nirnaya. What is Upakrama? What is Upasamhara? What is being introduced is being same thing is concluded. Atma is limitless, it has to conclude as the Atma has limitless. In between there is apurvata, there is some newness is shown. In between there is repetition. Tattvamasi, tattvamasi, if it is necessary, because somehow our ajnanam is so much, we are not able to appreciate this beautiful fact. So repetition is necessary. Udharanam is necessary, examples are necessary. So Shastra is proven thing with the Shad, that Tatparya Nirnaya is there. So in Tatparya Nirnaya you cannot make any mistake. So when such a wonderful teaching is available, you cannot interpret that it is forced by someone. You cannot say it is faith believed. You cannot say it is faith based. Neither you can say it is cultish, because it is available for everyone. So here it is bhakti, which is unflinching bhakti, accepting that Ishvara is abhinna nimitta upadana karanam. So that's what is being told. And the word mayi also is explained in detail. Mayi is what? Mayi Ishvare. Always Ishvara, we discussed in detail. In bhakti, where can you have bhakti? In Ishvara only. Nothing else. There is no place that you can have any bhakti. Bhakti, general word, is bhajanam. Bhaktaha is one who does bhajanam. That is fine. We should not underestimate the bhaktaha also. But here the bhakti what is talking, is being talked, is you can look upon Ishvara totally as Swamiji gives us options. I'm sure all of you are reading Gita Home Study. Or one is looked upon as everything non-separate from me. That's what is being told. So this will conclude my first session. Then we'll meet again at 11:15 to discuss the third and fourth pada of the shloka, starting with Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Aratir Janasamsadi. If we are done with that, we'll try to take next shloka. Otherwise, we'll finish that with Vivikta Desha Sevitvam. Thank you for your patience. We'll see you at 11:15.